Tango Tango Papa 2072, June 15, 2021.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monstrous crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Wiles here with you, coming to you this evening from Boonville, Missouri. So, I guess it's SWAT. It's been about 2 weeks maybe since the last podcast without looking. So I've been pretty busy, as always. Right now I've got about 4 minutes remaining on the 70 hours until after midnight. So I'm just kind of hanging out here. I'm at a Love's truck stop in Boonville, Missouri, and I'm just kind of hanging out here until then I'll leave here sometime early in the morning, and then the load that I have delivers to... it's down by Knoxville, Vonore, V-O-N-O-R-E, Tennessee. So, but it was actually supposed to be there tomorrow being the 16th at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. But I don't have enough hours in order to make that happen. Won't be getting enough back after midnight. I can get most of the way down there, but not quite all of the way, and so they had to reschedule it. So, but in any case, I got here at this Love's, I guess around 3:30 in the afternoon, something like that. And so all that's here is a Hardee's, and so I had some kind of a crappy Hardee's burger. Great big one, without the buns. So it came sort of a in the lettuce and what have you. So it's these burger places don't use the greatest quality of beef, but it was okay. It's food. It's edible. I haven't been food poisoned yet, so. But it's not my first choice. But in this case, I was kind of stuck, so I had to get as far as I could. I was going to stop back up the road at this. There's this place called Betty's Truck Stop that's back up back up towards Kansas City. I'm on I-70 in Missouri. But the problem was they've got the bridge that goes over the interstate. It looks like they're in the process of replacing it. And so if you get off at that exit, you can either turn right and go south if you're headed east like I was. Turn right, you're headed south on some road, and then if you otherwise you can just get right back on the interstate and go east some more, but you can't, there's no way of crossing the bridge, and I wasn't really, it wasn't worth it to try to, go down to another exit and then come back and then have the problem trying to go east, because then you could go west, without making a giant, some kind of big detour to go east again. That little truck stop actually has a restaurant. I think it's still open as far as I know, but I couldn't get to it, so that was that. Because the bridge was missing, at least for until they replace it. So, now we're finally into a little bit warmer weather, and the weather isn't that hot, but I don't know, the weather channels. I happened to see some Weather Channel. I think, it was when I was inside this, Love's Truck Stop has a Hardee's in it, and so I ate in there. And that's where I ate the burger at. And so they had a TV on with the volume turned down and the text captioning was turned on. And of course, this Weather Channel is going on and on about how horribly hot it is, you know. And I don't know where they're trying to make it as dramatic as possible to get people, excited and to watch it, you know, because you get... that's how they get you to watch things, is to, you know, kind of stir up your emotions. If they can't appeal to, intellectual curiosity, then the next best thing is to just really crank up your emotions and get you to watch. And, of course, the idea is that you'll watch the ads. You know, get you to watch, and then then they can charge more for the ads, for the ad spots. The ad spots are what pay for it. But, they were saying how hot it was and blah, blah, blah. Well, and then I happened to, my parents called later this afternoon. My mom, I talked to her on the phone. And she was saying how hot it was, and oh my God, it was 115 degrees in Las Vegas. Of course, they're in South Texas. Where typically this time of year it's over 100 degrees day after day after day after day, and that's just the way it is down. They're down in that's a subtropical area, South Texas. Way down there by the border, and it gets hot in the summer. That's why it's nice in the winter, typically. They'll have some really, bunch of really nice days, and that's why people go down there for the winter, because it's nice for the most part. Sometimes there's some cold days, but, not really that bad. In the summer, it gets really hot. Same deal with Florida. It gets really hot, and then plus the humidity, and it's, if you're you better have a functioning air conditioner. But people are taking these normal temperatures. I've been in Las Vegas when it was 115. That happens every summer. It gets really hot there. Been in Phoenix when it was at least that much or more. Drive right through and you can look at if you've got a thermometer on your dash, tells you what the temperature is. So those places get really hot. That's the desert. But then she was trying to say, well, how hot it was at home in Arkansas. Well, I looked and it's like 91 degrees. And of course there's going to be some humidity. It's not going to be like South Texas levels or Florida levels, but or South Arkansas levels, or even like Louisiana, Mississippi, those places are all really humid. Georgia is the same way. But so she's just been kind of watching that stuff. She sits and watches that stuff, and then she just gets kind of excited, and so I don't know. I see people do that, and I won't do it. I'm sorry. I tend to be a bit of a killjoy when it comes to my mom tries to get me excited about weather or news stories, and I'm a bit of a killjoy when it comes to that stuff. It's just, I'm sorry, I'm not gonna get emotionally involved stories like that. That's how you become brainwashed. And it's, I don't know, it's really ridiculous. It's just absolutely outrageous. But people do kind of fall for it. And I think one of the reasons why people fall for it is that they have there's little or no meaning in people's lives. Let's just be honest. A lot of people don't, when it comes right down to it, do they have any real meaning in their existence? What's the point of their existence? Some people have the idea that, and I've talked probably extensively about this before, but some people have the idea that leisure and pleasure somehow, if you enjoy those things somehow, that if you could have as much leisure and pleasure as you wanted, that somehow you would end up with more meaning in your existence. Well, you don't. I'm sorry. Hate to be the bearer of bad news, but pleasure and leisure do not make for meaning. Yeah, are they enjoyable? They can be in small quantities, but it really doesn't make for any kind of meaning. What's the point? And so people will end up trying to, kind of pleasing themselves, or by watching TV, or that's a big one. Or, of course, their phones. Everybody's got their phone and they're spending hours and hours on it a day. I'm not saying that it's all bad, but you've got to be careful. Got to be very careful with it, because there are people, and this is just a natural thing. It's no conspiracy. People try to get you to become emotional. It's not just on the news. It's not just news, and it's not just people on the internet that are trying to attract your attention. It's everyone. There's a possibility that they're going to try to get you to become emotional. And so, ideally, the way I handle it is, it doesn't work with me. I'm not going to become emotional. As I've often said, we as human beings have a certain level of natural emotions, but we end up perverting them. We end up trying to make them into something that they were never intended to be. We use emotions as a distraction. Make things overly dramatic. And it you do that at your own peril. You end up with a whole host of problems. Endless number of problems can stem from that, and do stem from that. So, anyway, I've got a file that Joel sent me, so we'll be playing that here in a bit. Let's see here. Doot. Looking through my notes here. One of the things regarding emotions, and this kind of fits in, people use emotions to reinforce their sense of knowing. And that includes of knowing, they think, well, I know. But they're using this heightened sense of emotions in order to make themselves feel that they, you know, it sort of makes their, what they believe that they know, even if it's, you know, and they use that against facts. So you could, that's why you can present people with facts and they'll tend to just ignore them or discount, they're able to discount them. And they're using emotions as a way of discounting facts. You know, so that's why it's one of the reasons why it's utterly fruitless to argue with ideologically possessed people, because you know, they'll use emotions to, you know, kind of reinforce their sense of quote unquote knowing about something. Well, everybody knows that this, or everybody knows that that. So, I guess, now I really haven't been paying attention to the news. I'm not, you know, very seldom now am I even looking at headlines. And, you know, like in the coming email, I just kind of mostly don't look at that. And, but, you know, some of the stuff kind of ends up seeping through anyway. And I guess I'm sure they're still trying to push the vaccines. And I realized this the other day, and I made a note about it. The vaccine, the people that are pushing the vaccine pushers, are attempting to utilize the same psychological mechanisms that, you know, utilized by cults. You remember Jim Jones? Remember the Jim Jones thing? Jim Jones, you know, got the people to, you know, they were in Guyana, and he ended up getting them all to kind of drink the poison Kool-Aid. And of course, you know, it wasn't just him that was to blame. It was all of the people, and then they all kind of had this group, this Jim Jones kind of group think going. And so they all drank the poison Kool-Aid. And so that's the same sort of mechanism that the modern day vaccine pushers are attempting to use. They're trying to get you to fall prey to the groupthink, and they'll say things like, well, it's science, science, science. You know, get you to have a knee-jerk reaction to the word science. And of course, in their own minds, they think that it's just perfectly legitimate, and you're being irrational because you're not following the program. And so then they label you as some sort of an anti-vaxxer, whatever the hell that is. And but it's just groupthink. That's all it is. It's just it's a form of groupthink. Get you to kind of conform and go along with what everybody else does, so you can be part of the sea of all alike. Everybody that thinks the same way, you know, that's behaving the same way, that mouths the same things. You know, you know, the people that do that, they, you know, they're trying to get you to, you know, kind of push you into the same thing, or, you know, think the same way. People have, they'll have, you know, they're kind of, like, you can put it this way, you know, propagandized people of the same feather, you know, so people that are all kind of the same, you know, that kind of think the same way and have the same set of values, you know, when they're having a discussion, they'll endeavor to demonstrate, you know, their quote-unquote proper shared values, that make up the shared ideological possession. And you can actually see that sometimes, you know, you can see that happening. You know, and I've, you know, the reason I'm able to see that is because I've caught myself, you know, in different groups. I've, you know, kind of seen myself do that. You know, I'll kind of determine what are the values, what are these people's values, and then I'll sort of feed those values back to them. And I've seen myself do that before. So, you know, but people do that. And that's a useful thing to be able to see. That's a really useful thing to be able to see, you know. And of course, the reason you do that you, you know, kind of feed people's values back to them, the reason you do that, you're trying to, you know, you're trying to impress them, or you're trying to, you know, probably manipulate them, you know, into, you know, either, you know, somehow it's to your advantage to kind of manipulate the situation. But it's a useful thing to be able to see. And, you know, because then if you're able to actually see it, then you don't have to do it anymore. And at this point, I really don't care if people kind of like me or they don't like me or whatever. You know, I'm going to have my own set of thoughts, and if they don't like it, it's their problem, not mine. So, anyway, I guess we'll go ahead and start listening to Joel. So here is Joel.
Hey, Tom. It's Joel McLaughlin here. I'm on the way back. Got out of work a little while ago. Of course, I'm probably going to go back and do a little bit more work once I get to the hotel. But just listening to your last show, talked a little bit about propaganda of different things, and yep, you're not wrong, but there's certain things that I will always, for the most part, like and never unlike. Like, for example, Star Trek is usually one of those. But here it is, it's June, which means corporate America starts to crap rainbows on everything, you know, to make it all sound like they care about gay rights and blah de blah 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 blah. All right. And Star Trek, just like Star Wars, really, when you really think about it, is now kind of overrun with this kind of things. Now, some people say, like it, you know, at least with their subjects on their different Facebook pages and stuff like that, and on their website. But, you know, I put these stories after stories, and a lot of it's like kind of trying to normalize things that really aren't all that normal, all right? And one thing I will acknowledge with them is like, okay, do I care if anybody's gay? Nope. Would I care if my son was gay? Nope. I would still love him anyway, you know, but I don't know what this incessant flood in June is about, other than, you know, I don't know what they think it's actually going to accomplish. Because there's going to be a point where people who really don't like it take the offensive and start really battling them. All right. They got what they wanted. They have what they wanted. But it's never enough. You know, and that same can go with anything, any of woke culture, you know, is they think that their idea is the right way, and it's the only way. And in reality, it's not really either. You know, it's not right what some Christians will do to gay people. It's not right what some, you know, it's not right when people who, you know, they call people who disagree with them bigots. Well, you can disagree with somebody who's gay and their lifestyle and all that stuff and not be what I would call a bigot. You know, I don't care. They can go live their life. Leave me alone. That's all I want, is to be left alone. I don't want to have to start to navigate what I watch because of political beliefs. Always.
Well, let me go ahead and interrupt. The reason that it's never enough, like you say, is because the primary reason is because they're guilty people. You know, people that generally that are engaging in, you know, whatever. Let's say it could be gay behavior. It could be abortion is another example, probably even a better example. You know, a woman kills her baby just because it's, you know, inconvenient, unwanted byproduct of sex. You're going to feel guilty. I'm sorry. You can try to convince yourself all day long that wrong is right and right is wrong. You're going to feel guilty about it. But then they're saying, you know, because they think that they can determine, you know, people have this belief that they can determine their own values. And I'm telling you, you cannot determine your own values. I cannot determine my own values. It's not possible. At best, I can observe my own behavior and discover what my values are based on my behavior. Not what I say, not what I'm trying to espouse verbally, but what is my behavior? What's my actual behavior? That's what you have to go by. That's how you can determine what your, maybe you got the best chance of determining what your values really are. So that being said, you know, you could say, well, I'm going to decide that it's really, you know, abortion's really a noble thing. It's really okay to kill your baby, you know, and you kill your baby, have an abortion, and you feel guilty about it. Okay, well, or it could be anything. You know, step out. You could decide that it's okay to, you're going to have an open marriage. And it really is okay to have that extramarital affair. Because you've decided that it's really okay. It's, you know, screw this monogamy thing. It's really okay to have an open marriage. Just, you know, have lots of extra sex, extramarital affairs, extramarital sex. Well, the problem is your values probably, you know, you can just say that I'm going to decide that that's the way my values are going to be, but the problem is that your values aren't that way. You feel guilty about it. And so then you try to get all your friends to agree with you that, extramarital sex is really okay, or homosexual behavior really is okay, or you know, having an abortion is really, it's really a good thing to do. It's really okay. It's an acceptable behavior because the government says that it is. Well, you're still going to feel guilty about it. You're still degrading yourself. I'm sorry. But, you know, so, but then they think, well, you know, what's making me feel guilty? They don't understand that they can't change. People don't understand that they can't just arbitrarily change their own values. You can't just arbitrarily change what your values are. You don't even, you know, how do you even know what your values are? You have to look at your own behavior over a period of time. But they think that, well, it must be these Christians or these other people, these people that are espousing morality. They're the ones that have, they're making me feel guilty. It's those people. So I'm going to do my best to reprogram them, or reprogram their children. And they really do believe that if they can reprogram everybody to think the same way, that there'll be no more guilt. The guilt will be gone. And then, then they can just engage in whatever the lowest forms of behavior that they can dream up. And there will be no guilt. And they'll have this guilt-free utopia. And that's really the way, you know, kind of the way they think. But what you really have to understand as an individual, what you really have to understand is that you just can't arbitrarily say, well, these are my values. This is my set of values. You can try to all day long. You know, you can say, well, this is my, you know, you write out this set of values, and I'm going to just, you know, just really try to live by this set of values, and if I've decided that wrong is right and right is wrong, then I'll just arbitrarily live by these values, and everything's going to be hunky-dory, and I won't feel any guilt. Well, it doesn't work that way. There is such a thing as right and wrong. There are behaviors that are wrong, and you will feel guilty about it, unless you're a sociopath or some kind of psychopath. So, but they're, you know, the idea is that they're trying to blame other people, because they know that somehow they're miserable, they've degraded themselves. And you have to, you know, you also have to realize that, you know, a lot of the times people that are writing these, you know, these TV shows, for example, that you're talking about, especially the modern ones, a lot of those people, if you look at their own, you know, you look at their lives and what their behavior, what they're doing, what their behavior is, it's probably pretty bad. A lot of those people now are, you know, because they're guilty people. You know, and they'll say, well, I don't, you know, I'm engaged in this behavior, that behavior, and I don't feel any guilt. Well, what are they doing? They're probably, a lot of them are on drugs of various sorts. They could be alcoholics, etc., etc. Using various drugs as a sort of a compensation to try to get rid of the guilt. That they feel because of it, they've degraded themselves. So essentially, you violate biblical values at your own peril, and it doesn't matter whether you say you believe in the Bible or not. That's irrelevant. The biblical values weren't just arbitrarily written. They were written down, in my opinion, they were written down based on observation. People observe, well, this is what works and this is what doesn't work. These are the values. we've been able to, you know, via observation, long years of observation, we've did, you know, these are the values. You know, so Moses comes up with a set of Ten Commandments. But they're built into us. Whether you want to believe that or not, they're built into us. They're kind of a fundamental behavior, a set of behavior standards. And you violate them at your peril, your own peril. You degrade yourself when you violate those. And then, of course, what do they do? You know, the natural thing is to say, well, it must be these other people that are making me somehow, they're making me feel guilty. It's their fault that that I'm degraded, that I feel guilty. The thing is, when you degrade yourself, your conscience is always there reminding, says, hey, you're wrong. And your conscience, I really do believe that is God talking to you. So, anyway, let's go ahead and listen to some more of Joel's comment.
So, it may come down to that, though, because I'm not going to, there's going to be certain things I'm just not going to watch anymore. Like the news. I don't watch the news anymore, mostly because I think they're a bunch of liars. And I don't, there's certain things I just don't watch anymore because I don't care for being preached at by somebody who has beliefs that are just way out of whack. Can't tell me, it's like I got in a conversation at church yesterday. I went to church for, our weekly group. I go in there, and one thing I brought up was I said, I'll get into a debate with an atheist online. And the atheist thinks, you're a Christian. You're supposed to be quote unquote perfect. You're supposed to do all these things. I'm like, that's where you're mistaken. The only thing being Christian means is that you profess a faith in God, and that you accept that his son died on the cross for you. All right, that's not an acknowledgement that you are perfect. That's an acknowledgement that you need a savior in the first place. And a lot of people think, well, he's a Christian, he's all perfect. Probably one of the best videos I've ever seen in a sermon was last week. They had we're doing like a Faith at Home, I don't know if it's a Faith at Home series or just regarding faith in your own family and stuff like that in a series at church. And they talked about the video they showed was, the beginning of the video, you see this perfect looking couple. They're both, immaculately, at least from what you see, they're immaculately dressed in their Sunday best and all that. And then the video switches to a half hour earlier where their alarm rings off and they finally wake up. All right. So then all the imperfections start to be shown, all of a sudden one of their kids splashes milk or something all over the kitchen and all over dad's shirt. Dad's trimming his hair. You don't really see this action, but later on, towards the end of the video, dad turns his head in church and you see this bald spot in the back of his head. So dad was trimming his hair and his kids jostled him and shaved a little patch of hair off. And the whole idea of that video is to say that, hey, we're not perfect. There's not one of us on this earth that's perfect. The Bible says there's not one righteous person here. And that's true. Right? And the whole goal of Christianity is getting to know your Creator, for one, and for two, trying to make yourself a better person than you are today. And I can wholeheartedly agree with am I better today than I was yesterday or even 2 years ago? Yeah, I'm most certainly better person than I was back then. And if you even go back further in my life, you can see me getting drunk and stuff with alcohol, and I haven't had a drink of that since. And I'm not saying that makes me a better person. You know, what makes me the better person is the fact that I recognize that I make mistakes. You know, and the left believes you can't make mistakes, and that's just not true. You can and do make mistakes every single day. And an atheist just has a wrong idea of what Christians are supposed to be like. And, you know, then I'll hear a gay people say, well, Christians want me dead. I'm like, no, I don't really see Christians wanting you dead. Muslims maybe, but not Christians. You know, it's all of a thing with, are you trying to make yourself a better person? You know, and indeed I am. I know I am. You know, but I'm still not there. I'm still not perfect, and that's just the whole thing with that. You know, we aren't perfect. None of us are. Some of us may not be perfect until right before we go to be with Him. And ultimately, that's what it's all about. You know, a lot of people think that, oh, you know, that Christian person needs to be that perfect person. Well, no, they're not. You know, I don't know one perfect Christian in my entire life. And there's some very, very good Christians, but I do not know one Christian that's perfect. That's just like Jesus was. So, anywho, that's my thoughts on you know, Pride Month. You know, never mind that. Not one of my favorite Star Wars movies, but I remember in Attack of the Clones where I believe Count Dooku says Pride comes before the fall, and that's so true. Yeah, everyone has, you look at, oh, I'm so prideful. I'm gay. I'm like, what does being gay have to do with being prideful? You know, anybody can be prideful. You know, anywho, talk to you later, sir.
Okay, well, thank you, Joel. So, the whole thing with the pride, you know, Pride Month for this, or abortion pride, gay rights pride, labor pride also falls into this category. Why do they feel like they have to be proud of something? Because they're guilty. Guilty people. They've degraded themselves. Anyone, and it doesn't, and not just to pick on people, you know, people that have had an abortion or people that have, you know, that are gay or whatever, not just to pick on those people, but it could be anybody that has sinned. And what does it mean to sin? It means to miss the mark. It means to fail to follow what you know is right in your heart. It means to fail to follow your conscience. You know, we've all had, you know, most of us have had the experience of, you know, doing something and there's a little voice that says, don't do that. That's not right. Don't do that. And we do it anyway. And then afterwards you realize, well, I knew that I shouldn't have done that. Something told me, but I did it anyway. And these, you know, these things all happen by degrees. But, you know, people, in various ways, people end up degrading themselves. And when you end up degrading yourself, what do you have to do? You know, like the labor people, they're all, you know, they try to get them to be upset about, you know, because they have to work. And so then then they have their labor pride march. Because a big part of the labor thing was to get people upset about having to work. Any kind of upset, being upset, that's where the real sin comes in. That's where the real problem comes in. So, then what's your choice? Once you're upset, what's your choice? You've got two wrong choices. You either go along to get along, or you try to rebel and do the opposite. Well, you know, in this case, we'll be proud of what it's turned us into. We'll be proud of this identity, sort of a resentment-based identity. The resentment causes you to end up with an identity that you didn't have to start with. Then, I'll be proud of it. Safety in numbers. We'll have a march. As if that's somehow going to take the degradation away. But I'm sorry, it doesn't work that way. And that's one of the reasons it drives it into being a bottomless pit, because then they have to become more depraved. One abortion isn't enough. You have to have multiple abortions. And there are women that do have multiple abortions. You know, maybe one extramarital affair isn't enough. You got to have multiple ones. Etc. Well, I've got my window down. You can hear the truck start. You know, the reefer unit's running. It's a 71 degrees continuous run. Then the truck periodically starts, and you know, I've got the air conditioner coming on. But I also have the window down, and I had it down earlier, and these flies came in, and they're just bugging me. I'm gonna have to get my fly swatter. I can be a bit annoying. But, you know, the point is, they really do believe that the reason they feel guilty is because everybody doesn't agree with them. They think that, you know, if you can get everybody to agree that wrong is right and right is wrong, whatever it is, and of course wrong is a bottomless pit, you can, you know, they can never be wrong enough, as it were. You know, so they end up with, you know, the people that impose any kind of morality, you know, or just espouse any sort of morality or represent some sort of a moral code, somehow they're making them feel guilty. But as I said before, we don't get to determine what our values are. We have to find our values. If you're really sincere, you've got to look at your own behavior in order to see what your values are. And I do believe that, you know, once you're actually able to see yourself, if you can actually be honest and see yourself, then it becomes possible. And only then does it become possible to maybe change. But that's a process that involves sincerity. That's a process that involves being able to listen to your conscience. Because maybe it's really only your conscience that can actually change your values. You know, meaning, another way of saying that would be, maybe if you're really honest and you see yourself as you actually are, and not what you believe yourself to be, but what you actually are, what, you know, by observing your own behavior, sincerely observing your own behavior, at that point God can step in and change you. And I really do believe that's how it works. And that really is the only way that it works. You know, you can, you know, go through your prayer thing all the time and ask, you know, kind of ask God to step in and change you, but if you're not willing to really see your own faults, it's all in vain. It's just a bunch of words that you're mouthing. You really have to be willing and able to observe your own behavior. And not simply say, well, I'm a sinner, and, you know, because I know that's the popular thing. And they say, oh, well, you just admit that you're a sinner and, you know, Jesus is going to save you. It's one thing to just say those words, and it's another thing to actually see that you're a sinner. See how you've done it. But you can't just arbitrarily say, well, I'm going to, you know, this is a value, or you have to observe your own behavior before you can see what your values actually are. And then your values actually end up determining what you have faith in. And you can say that you have faith in God or whatever, but that doesn't mean that you actually do. Doesn't mean that you can actually put your faith to work. You put your faith to work if you've got the right set of values, this really is the way the mind works, the way the human mind works. The world is too complicated. It's just the world actually is horrifically complicated. And so we have to have a kind of a proper working set of values in order to sort of triage and know what to believe in and what's the proper course of action. We can't just mechanically determine that, because, as I say, the world is too complicated. Wrong set of values, wrong faith in the wrong things, faith in false gods, in other words. These are very, very interesting topics, to me anyway. So, and I could talk about them endlessly. So anyway, probably better be bringing this to a close and see if I can find my fly swatter. I have one somewhere. Find the fly swatter and see if I can get rid of the flies. So, in any case, hope everyone is having a great week, and I will catch you later.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com.